baby, join in the fun. Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Take it from here.
Yes, Jim, I was turning out this old suitcase, and by golly, it was a sentimental experience. Mm. You see, it was filled with all my youthful treasures, things I'd hoarded when I was,
drunk?
When I was 70.
Oh.
A ukulele that didn't work, a dance program, a jar of pimple remover.
That didn't work either.
Oh, cease your polished chatter. Souvenirs, Jim. It's like the song, "These foolish things remind me of me." And right at the bottom, there was this book of poems.
Poetry, Bentley?
Yeah.
You? The man who thought Shelley was what the Chinese drink a glass of before dinner?
I was a very romantic youth.
Oh.
And the girl I was keen on, she brought me Omar Khayyam.
That's a funny thing to bring you home.
He was a poet, Jim.
Oh, that Omar Khayyam.
Yes. I always carried his book of verse with me whenever this girl and I had an evening together.
To inspire you?
Well, no, to stand on. She was taller than me. The Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. You know, Jim, I wonder why he called his works the Rubaiyat.
Why he called them the Rubaiyat? Well, that's an interesting story.
The wise books tell us that many centuries ago in ancient Persia lived a poor poet by name Omar Khayyam. At this time, the ruler of all Persia was the infamous Sultan Mahmud al-Jim. See him reclining on sumptuous cushions, puffing on his hubble bubble. With a languid wave of his bejeweled hand, he beckons the grand wazir.
Wazir.
Yes, so magnificent.
Press my stomach. I wish to exhale.
My master's slightest wish is for the obeying thereof. For has it not been said that the Sultan Mahmud is the most splendorous potentate that ever did grace the throne of Persia?
True, very true. You were there when I said it. Tell me more in the same vein. Pour it on me, lad.
Has not the Sultan Mahmud the tallest palaces, the rarest jewels, the strongest slaves, and a harem? A harem crammed to the ceiling with the fairest women from every country in the globe?
Every country, was here. I call them my international date line. Oh, there's no doubt of it, was here. I've done very well for myself. Only one thing perturbs me. Wazir, I am worried about my posterity.
I'll fetch thee another cushion.
I'll fetch thee a wallop across the back sheath with my scimitar. If thou wants to keep thy place in this opulent corner of old Persia, just remember, Mahmud does the funnies.
I grovel.
That's better, you grovel. What I am anxious about is this. When I am gone to dust, there's dust I shall go to. How will men of the future realize what a little smasher I was?
Oh, magnificence, that too have I considered. Wherefore have I summoned hither a young poet? Let him set down thy glories for men to read of through all the years to come.
A very good idea, Wazir. A wizard idea, Wazir. Very wizard, Wazir. I tell you what, I'll give thee the great ruby from my turban if it works out.
Oh, magnificent.
Mind you, I don't think it will work out because I've glued it in. However, summon this young poet that I may scrutinize him.
He is even now in the anteroom, ready to sprint in the moment he hears thy gong bash.
Then bash will I this very instant. Hand me that thin slave with the big head.
Oh, no, don't, no, ow!
Enter, O poet. Advance backwards before the glory of the Sultan. Bow low and recite thy audition piece.
A book of verse beneath the bough, a jug of wine, a loaf of bread, and... Ow! Ooh.
That'll teach you to bow low in front of a man with a scimitar. It was but a sample of my savage oriental sense of humor. Tell me, what is thy name?
My name, O Magnificence? Hast thou not heard of Omar Khayyam?
Oh, yes, the one with the chuckle in the voice.
That's Alma Kogan. Oh, Magnificence, Do but give me the word, and I will pen you poems of such pent-up Persian passion they'll scorch the skewery out of your shish kebab. Oh, magnificence. Magnificence, I got it right, and I await your command. Tell me, what would you like me to write about?
I would like you to write about... Chan! By the left, quick!
Nay, nay, magnificence, I prithee thee. Ah, give me a chance, I need the piastres, that I may wed my Jasmine.
Jasmine, that's a pretty name.
Yes, Majesty, she sings in the bazaar.
Oh, is she,
She is extremely, Oh, how can I extol my Jasmine? When she sings, the hummingbird ceases to hum, and the mockingbird stops taking the mick. Oh, Jasmine, my lovely Jasmine.
You interest me strangely. Khayyam, I shall see this maiden. If she is as bewitching as you have suggested, you may become my poet laureate.
Oh, rapture, magnificence, you have stirred my muse. List. The moving finger writes, and having writ, gets stuck. So remove the finger, Mahmud, and the best of Persian luck.
The maiden Jasmine, and at the cafe of the crescent moon I sing nightly with the band Humphrey Littleton and his Jasmine. That night I had just finished singing a new number celebrating the Arab Alliance. It was called Don't Knock Iraq. Just as I was disentangling my yashmak, there was a commotion at the doorway.
By the beard of the prophet, it's a police raid. No, get the champagne under the table. Clear the sherbet away. Now, come on.
Nay, nay, good Meadows. Nay, nay, it is no raid.
No?
I...
What is it then?
No, it isn't a raid.
Oh.
I am a VIP, a very important Persian.
Oh. Tis the Sultan
himself. All stand, all stand.
I'm afraid there isn't a hall stand. He'll have to leave his hat in the cabinet.
Omar, what brings you hither and in such august company?
Oh, Jasmine, I'm going to be court poet. 30 piastres a week and board.
30 piastres a week?
Oh, moon of my desire that knows no wane. Stick with me, kid, we're on the gravy train.
One moment before you make your plans, Khayyam. Let me inspect this Jasmine. Revolve. Extremely.
Omar, he's making eyes at me.
Yes, I like it.
Well, you have it. Jasmine is mine.
Silence, poet! Terrible silence, wasn't it?
Yes.
Silence, close thy Persian gulf. I am the Sultan. What I want, I have, and what I have, I'm sticking to. Wazir!
Sire?
Wrap it up, I'll take it with me.
And thus was my beloved taken from me and conveyed to the harem. Here she was bedecked in silk and anointed with rare unguents to make her ankle bangle dangle. How could I rescue her? I crept to the harem and spoke to her through the lattice.
Oh, my beloved Omar, his magnificence says that on the next moon he will make me his sultana.
But he already has 450 of them. Why does he need so many sultanas?
Perhaps he took a course on current affairs. Oh, my beloved poet, what can we do?
It is no good appealing to him. He is the stubbornest despotted mespot. Perhaps if I offered him something...
What can you offer him?
Poetry. I will write a book of the greatest poetry Persia has ever seen. I will dedicate it to him only on condition he restores you to my arms. Oh, Jasmine, give me a feather from thy pillow that I may use it as a quill.
Here, my Omar, but can you write a whole book before the next moon?
I must, because if I do not, you'll be...
What is there to laugh about?
I'm sorry I dropped the feather down me pantaloons. Farewell, Jasmine.
Too quickly the days passed, till finally the day of the new moon, and I was led before the Sultan.
So this is my beloved. Oh, my beautiful Jasmine. Today I make you my 451st. Today you will promise to love, honor, and get to the back of the queue.
But I do not love you.
I will make you love me. I will build you a palace of such splendor, it'll make the Taj Mahal look like a council house. Come, wazir, proceed with the ceremony.
Stop! Jasmine, I've done it.
'Tis the poet.
Oh, magnificence. Look you upon this book of verse. This book will I dedicate to you if you return me my Jasmine.
Have you gone off your oriental chump?
Think, magnificence. This book can immortalize you. Poetry is worth more to you than any maiden.
But Jasmine is so beautiful.
Agreed. But although she is beautiful, she is not a verse.
Well, you know her better than I do,
Sure. Magnificence, I have been scanning these poems. They answer your desire to be remembered by posterity.
I see. In that case, Khayyam, I will accept your offer. And here, you take my place at the wedding ceremony.
Oh, magnificence. You are truly magnificent.
I know. Stand here, Omar. And as a little wedding present, I give you my turban with the great ruby in it.
Oh, I've always wanted a turban with a ruby in it. Magnificence, now I have the title for my book of verse.
Oh, beloved, what will you call it?
The Ruby Act of Omar Khayyam.
I'm on my way to Greta Green. Prettiest girl you've ever seen. I hope the place ain't hard to find, cause her angry pa ain't far behind. Away, oh, away, oh.
I've got to get to Gretna Green, cause pa is mad and ma is mean. They said we were too young to wed, so I'm hoping we are well ahead.
Away, oh. Not. He will stand and envy me when he sees the prize I've got. When we are married, we'll ride away. And by my side, she will always stay. If Pa arrives and starts a scene, he'll be too late in Gretna Green. Giddy up, horse, giddy up, we gotta be on our way. Giddy up, horse, giddy up, don't catch us if we stay.
I've got to get to Gretna Green, with the bonniest boy you've ever seen.
Giddy up, horse, and shake the earth, gotta gallop along for all your wealth away. Oh, away, oh. Giddy up, horse, giddy up, we gotta be on our way. Giddy up, horse, giddy up, they'll catch us if we stay. I've got to get to Gretna Green, with the prettiest girl you've ever seen. Giddy up, horse, and shake the earth, gotta gallop along for all your worth away.
Please, all your glasses, please, gentlemen. Charging cup, miss. Here. Mr. Glum, I must say you seem very pleased with yourself tonight.
Oh, yes?
You've got the look of a man who has, well, how shall I say, fulfilled himself.
Well, I don't know about fulfilling myself, Ted, but I've certainly filled myself full. I got room for one more brown, thank you very much. I am feeling... I'll say this. Yeah. I am feeling gratified tonight. You know why I'm feeling gratified?
No.
Because I've done a good deed.
No.
I've redressed an horrible injustice.
Well, she certainly needs redressing.
Not Mrs. Glum.
Oh.
Someone even horribler.
Yeah.
The incident in question revolved around somebody else. You know her, my son Ron's fiancée, young Ethel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Last Monday, she was round our house on the sofa with Ron, yeah. And Ted, it was obvious to the meanest intelligence, namely Ron, yeah. Was obvious that something was troubling her. Oh, she was agitato.
I'm sorry to be such a wet blanket tonight, but I'm so distraught, I just... Oh, beloved, this is a time when I need all your love. Ron, bring your dear face close to mine and look at me.
Righty-ho, eh?
Now, dearest heart, I want you to tell me something.
We had pilchards for tea.
That's not what I want you to tell me, Ron. Oh, beloved, listen carefully. Answer me this from your heart. If I swore to you I hadn't done something, but everybody else swore I had, who would you believe, me or them? Well, Ron?
Yeah, there can only be one answer.
Yes.
I may not be very clever, but one thing I'm quite certain of. In this world, there are always people just waiting to spread nasty lies about anybody who's as, well, as nice as you are.
Oh.
So I, myself, in my own mind, would never for one moment... What was the question again? Oh, them.
Ron!
All right, then me.
Oh, Ron, it's me they're saying things about.
Oh.
You see, Ron, last week in our office, there was a shortage in the petty cash, and the manager says the only person who could have stolen it is one of us girls, and you know who he's saying it is? Me! 38 girls in the general office, and out of the whole 38, he picks me!
Oh, yeah, congratulations.
He's calling me a thief, Ron. A thief.
Ah, don't cry, yet. Please don't cry. It makes your face taste like seawater. Don't cry. Please. Don't be...
Hello, hello, hello. Been listening to the weather forecast? Oh, dear, she is in a state, isn't she?
Everybody's saying I have, but I...
Hey! Now then! Now, just calm down here. Stop that crying this instant. You're making your face look like a slice of broth. Now, what is all this have done it and haven't done it business? What's it all about now? Come on.
Well, I suppose I'd better tell someone. I feel like I've got to unburden my heart. Or bust.
Well, the former would seem more seemly, wouldn't it? Come on, choke it up then. What's up then, dear? What is it?
Mr. Glum, my life at the office has become unbearable. I'm under suspicion of stealing from the petty cash.
Oh.
If you only knew the whispering and the pointing... I can't take much more of it.
How much have you taken so far?
I haven't taken any. I'm innocent. Would I take what didn't
right.
belong to me?
All right. Let's not have no historics. Let's talk it over like rational human beings. Now then, first things first. Now, stop sniffing. Now then, can you tell me exactly what's been half-inched and the approximate floggable value?
A sheet of health insurance stamps, yeah. Amounting in value to £8.11. They were kept locked up in the petty cash box.
Oh, I see. Oh, now we're getting down to it, the petty cash box. Mm. Well, now, what sort of people have access?
Lumberjacks, Dad. They use them...
Not access! Access! It's spelled different.
Yes.
An X and two S's.
Thank you.
What I'm saying, in other words, is who possesses a key to the petty cash box?
Well, that's it. Only me.
Oh dear.
That's why I'm under suspicion.
Oh, very understandably, too. It looks pretty black, doesn't it, Ron?
Certainly does, Dad. I wouldn't be surprised if we had a drop of rain.
I'm referring to the case against Madame F.
Madame?
After all, if you are the only one possessing a key, well,
but Mr. Glum, as I said to Mr. Hotchkiss, that key's only kept in my desk drawer. Almost anyone could have borrowed it and put it back after, couldn't they?
Oh, they could, yes.
Oh, Ron, you believe I'm not a thief, don't you?
Of course I do it.
Oh, thank you, beloved. But what about your father?
Oh, yes, he could be one, hadn't he?
I mean, he's looking at me as if he thinks I am a thief and he no longer wants me in his family.
Now, just a minute, Ethan. I never said that. I will not be accused of such narrow-minded bigotedness, oh no. In point of fact, I would welcome having a thief in the Glum family. Now,
welcome?
Well, it'd be company for Uncle Charlie. I make no secret of the fact that Uncle Charlie in his day was as crooked as a crankshaft. An ingenious malefactor, as ingenious as ever plagued E Division. However, now he's retired and is employed in honest work, I'm sure he'd welcome the chance to talk over tricks of the trade with a kindred spirit.
Kindred? Mr. Glum, once and for all, I didn't take those health stamps.
I know, but you must agree to all points to you with. No smoke without fire, you know. Anyway, the truth will all come out when the manager gets the police in.
But he won't get the police in.
Why not?
Oh, if you or Ron had ever in your lives had regular employment, you'd know how these firms do it. They don't like fuss. All that'll happen is I'll be quietly sacked with no references, and so I'll never be able to get myself a job anywhere ever again.
Well, there you are, Eth. Everything turns out for the best.
I don't want to be forever branded a thief when I'm not. Oh, Mr. Glum, how can I prove my innocence? Couldn't I hire a private detective?
Oh, I don't know. They cost quite a bit of money, Eth.
And you've only got £8.11.
Wrong! Oh, for the umpteenth time, Oh, it's like batting my head against the vicious circle.
Don't you call us vicious?
Mr. Glum, you know so much about crime and criminals.
Well,
couldn't you have come to my office and make inquiries?
But what inquiries? I mean, where could we start? I mean, we got nothing to go on.
We could go on my bike, Dad.
Oh, if I had a feather, I'd brain him. Look, Eth, let's talk to you. Now, listen, I want to help, and I would help. But now, be sensible. I mean, a big firm like yours, they wouldn't let the likes of Ron and me just nose around the office asking questions. I mean, it's only policemen who can... Policemen? Ron?
Yes, Dad?
Here's $0.50. Run down the pawn shop and get a couple of bowler hats and two pairs of the biggest boots you can find.
And we can confirm delivery on the 15th inst, assuring you of our best attention, etc. Got that?
Yes, Mr. Hotchkiss.
When you finish typing that, there's a rather unpleasant personal matter I wish to see you about.
Yes, Mr. Hotchkiss.
Come in.
All right, Mr. Hotchkiss. We're the police.
Police?
I'm Fagin of the Yard. This is my assistant, Dixon of Golders Green. All right, Dixon, fan out round the room. Ron, you're not fanning. Dixon, I'm talking to you.
I can't hear you, Dad.
I told you to get a smaller bowler hat. Wake it up and shove a wedge in.
Look, Inspector, what's this about?
Well, tell him, Dixon.
On information received, we are making inquiries regarding some health stamps which have been reported pilchard.
Pilchard?
It's a technical term. It's halfway between filched and pilfered.
Look. I'm afraid I don't understand this.
It's about those stamps that Eth pinched.
All right.
All right, miss, your evidence will be taken in due course.
Look here, this intrusion, it's most extraordinary. Can I see your authority?
Why, certainly. There we are. Now to the matter in question.
Now, just a minute. You didn't give me time to read that. That isn't a warrant. That's a summons made out against a Mr. Glum for using abusive language outside the mission hall.
That's right, I'm on my way to deliver it. Now, do you believe I'm a copper?
Well, I suppose so, but why has your assistant got no boots on?
No boots? Well, nor he has. Rod, where's your boots?
Oh, Dad, I don't know. They were so big on me, I must have walked right out of them.
Now, look here, Inspector. There's absolutely no need for you to intrude in this matter of the health stamps. We know that this young girl here is the culprit. We shall take our own punitive measures.
Oh, no, no, don't let them.
All right, miss. You realise, Miss Hotchkiss, that by making false accusations, you are liable to a charge of inflammation of character.
False accusations?
Yes, I'll show you your culprit. Sergeant Dixon?
Yes, Dad.
Stop playing with that stapling machine and open the window.
Right now, Dad.
Now, Miss Hotchkiss, what do you see in that gutter on the roof?
Well, that's a bird's nest.
That's right. I reach my hand up to the bird's nest. So, I root about within, withdraw my hand, and what have I now got in it?
Well, it's an elf stamp.
Exactly. And how do you think that stamp got in the bird's nest?
You put it there just now when you reached up. Ow! Oh, me bare toe. Oh, I'll fetch a policeman.
Dixon.
Yeah?
One more interruption from you and you'll be taken off nightclub duty. Now, Mr. Hotchkiss, there's your culprit, a commoner garden jackdaw.
But I don't understand it.
Jackdaws are famous for flying into windows and pinching bright-coloured objects for lining the nest. Quite obviously, that's what your jackdaw did with your health stamps while the petty cash box was open.
Well, how absolutely extraordinary. The only thing that puzzles me is the occupant of that nest is a sparrow.
A sparrow?
Yes, I've seen it often enough.
Proper little Peter Scott we got here, haven't we? Well, now then, we are quite clearly dealing with no ordinary jackdaw. Not only is he a resourceful thief, but also a veritable master of disguise.
Well, Ethel, I owe you an heartfelt apology.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Hotchkiss.
Well, I do hope that a small increase in salary will compensate you. Oh. And as for you, Inspector...
Oh, I know what you're going to say, servant. We're not really allowed to drink on duty, but seeing as this is a special occasion, well, thank you very much.
No, that wasn't really
what
brand.
I was
going to say. All right, I'll go and get the bottle and glasses.
Well, there you are, Inspector Glum does it again, eh? Pretty crafty, eh?
Oh, wonderful, Mr. Glum. Did you work out that jackdaw idea beforehand?
Well, no, Ethel, as a matter of fact, I did not. It was only when I stepped into the director's lift to come up here that the whole case became clear to me. A few seconds of swift discussion and the borrow of an elf stamp and the scheme was concocted.
But why should coming up in the lift have given it to you?
Well, if you never use the director's lift, do you?
No, Mr. Glum.
Well, then you don't know who the lift man is.
No.
Ron Teller.
It's my Uncle Charlie.
Harry Reminitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the Keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...